If you build it, they will come. Yeah, right. Fellow coders, if you're full of amazing ideas and have created amazing products but can't seem to get them off the ground, welcome. This is the Coder Startup, the show where smart programmers come to learn what it really takes to create, market, and sell a brand new product, and most of all, make it profitable. Now here's your host, successful software entrepreneur, Trevor Page.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to this episode, which is now number 50. This is a milestone, somewhat a half century, if you will, episode of the Coder Startup Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Once again, we're giving it a second try. We're going to be using the blab.im platform. We are live right now in terms of if you are subscribed to our Facebook page, if you are subscribed to us or following us on Twitter, or just me personally, my Facebook or my own personal profile, we've shared it so you can watch this live. If this goes well, then next week, we typically record Thursdays at 2 p.m. Next week, you can jump on and join the conversation with us if you like. And yeah, you can see us talking live. But in any case, for those of you who are not live and for those of you who are just listening to us via the podcast, welcome and let's get the show on the road. So I'm joined, as always, by Carter the Marketer Johnson. How's it going, my friend?
It's good, man. It's a good day.
It's a good day. That means that it's maybe an okay day because he didn't really go into depth about what's going on.
I was just, chugging along with work, just down in it. And then I looked up and I was like, holy cow, we got a podcast we got to film in 15 minutes. So it's one of those days, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You were in flow and I totally interrupted you.
It's all right.
That's all right. We're going to talk about something exciting today, which is the second part of our accounting talk. This is the part where the rubber meets the road, where you can actually get down and dirty with saving some cold hard cash. We're going to be talking a little bit about deductions today. So we hinted at the tax code and how, 99% of the tax code is written about deductions?
Yeah, something crazy like 99%. Again, that's in that Tom Wheelwright book, that book that we talked about last time. And again, it's probably just worth mentioning, neither Trevor nor myself are tax professionals, CPAs, or anything of that nature. So just take this with a grain of salt and make sure you talk with someone who is a tax professional. They'll be able to clarify a lot of this stuff, probably a lot better than we can. But we can at least help you ask the right questions. Right, Trevor?
Right. Oh, I just made a sale.
Coming in live,
ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome. Yeah, but I think today, like you said, Trevor, this is more of the exciting side. It's where we start talking about, as a business owner, some of these deductions that you can take out. And more than anything, I think we really want to talk about and focus on how you should be thinking about those, right? Because I know immediately when you said this is what you wanted to talk about, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Because one thing that came to mind for me when I was making that transition from, entrepreneurship is a hobby, I'm learning about it, to no, this is what I'm doing and I'm making money from it. There's all these like tools and books and resources you subscribe to that all of a sudden come into play as an actual business expense, right? So I thought that'd be a great way to start it off, especially when you mentioned, so much of our audience are coders, people at home. One of the things that a lot of people, I would reason to believe a lot of people have already subscribed to certain tools, or maybe they're paying for something that they've kind of been, utilizing in the background, not necessarily for their own venture or their own business, but start thinking about those things that you've subscribed to that you're paying a monthly fee to or a one-off thing, things like hosting, or if you've thrown up a website before, and these are expenses, right? These are expenses for your business.
Yeah. So for coders immediately, as coders, you don't tend to have to pay for a lot of stuff to get your work done. But things like, if you've been itching to subscribe to, Microsoft SQL Server or maybe Oracle services and whatnot for databases, yeah, you can write that off now under your business. Maybe you are looking for a different IDE, like you want to get into the IntelliJ series and actually pay for an IntelliJ IDE. That comes with a yearly subscription, and oftentimes, programmers might balk at that, but you get what you pay for, right? And now you can write that off as a business expense. But before we jump into those nitty gritty, let's back up a bit.
Okay.
What do we mean by write-off? Maybe they don't even know what that means. Maybe they've heard it before and they know it's a good thing. But what specifically does it mean when you're writing something off?
Yeah, great point. I don't even know how to really to answer that question. So there's
this is how I would answer it. I'll give my answer and then see how if you can expand on it.
Okay. Yeah, so that sounds good.
There's pre-tax dollars and post-tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Post-tax dollars are the money that you get paid for your salary. Your employer pays you a salary, and you see your on your pay stub, you see, okay, your gross amount, so the total amount you're paid is, let's say, I don't know, $2,000 for the week. Mm-hmm. But you don't receive $2,000. You receive, I don't know, $1,500 because 25% or more you have lost the taxes. So mm-hmm. that is post-tax dollars. Now, with business expenses and with write-offs, to me, the way I would word it is you can purchase something with pre-tax dollars. So you can almost make it like, okay, you're using a $2,000 salary. Let's not call it a salary. Let's say you have $2,000 of income that mm-hmm. would be taxable. But instead of taking $2,000 and taxing the entire amount, you're going to take $2,000. You're going to subtract whatever it is that the business expenses. Let's say you opted for a $200 IntelliJ subscription. So now it's only $1,800, and then you're taxed on the $1,800, which is a smaller amount of tax that you're going to pay because you're paying with pre-tax dollars. That's how I would describe a business expense.
Yeah, that's perfect. Because I was going to go into basically, you know, thinking of it in terms of, hey, here are your expenses, here's your income. And then at the end of the year, a lot of, you know, once you start doing tax planning and stuff like that, that's when you get into the deduction area, the tax planning and deferring income or picking up, you know, losses from past years and stuff. But I think the way you cut it up, like that's a perfect way of describing it. You are
mine's like the layman way of describing it. The
yeah. And that's fantastic. That's what we need to be focusing on, right? Like, that's the majority of what I know. We focus on in my business, and I imagine it's the same with yours. So yeah, with that, picking that up, what are some pointers you have just from the coder's perspective in terms of if this is someone's first year where they've been doing a business, first time they're filing taxes, what was going through your head? What are some of the things you overlooked? What are some things you wish you knew?
Yeah. So for me, I'm lucky because like I said in the last episode, my father has a background in accounting. He's great with numbers, and he happens to also be the CFO of my company. And he does my, you know, a lot of my accounting, all of my accounting for me, which is fantastic. So he already had some of the tips and tricks for deductions and whatnot. But if I didn't have him, and if I did not hire an accountant or someone to help me with that, I would not have known that I can write off the things that I can, such as I work from home. So therefore, a part of my home can be written off as an expense. It's called a rent expense. Mm-hmm. So if I were to go out, if I were to have a business and not work from home, I would most likely have to rent an office. And mm-hmm. if I purchased an office or leased an office, paid rent for an office space, that would be a business expense. I could write that whole amount off. But since I'm not renting an office per se, you're allowed to take the portion of your home, the percentage of the square footage of mm-hmm. the room in which you work on a daily basis, and you can write that off against the total square footage of your home. So for me, it's about whatever, 20, 25% of my home is my office. Okay. It's probably more 20% than 25. So I can write off 20% of my rent that I pay on a personal basis, or my mortgage or whatever it is for you in your case, I can write that off. So now my mortgage payment or rent payment essentially more or less goes down by 20%, sort of. Because those are all pre-tax dollars that I'm paying with, not post-tax dollars. So you don't actually lower your rent by 20%. You lower it by, you know, 35% of 20% of the rent. So mm-hmm. that was one of the big ones that I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know I could do that. So
yeah,
one big tip. What about you? You got any more?
Well, another thing, you know, you hear all this stuff. Oh, you can deduct automobile expenses, right? And that's true. That's absolutely true. I've always been told with anything, you know, you want to make sure you document the who, what, when, in terms of like things like that. So if you are deducting, hey, I went and got my car washed, then you want to make sure that you're like, yeah, I had a meeting with so-and-so and I wanted to take the client out, or I wanted, you know what I mean? When you're documenting your mileage to deduct stuff like that, you want to make sure you're documenting, hey, this is the meeting I was going to was at this location. I drove from X, Y, and Z, and that's how you can do that. And a lot of people, you know, come up with a lot of money through those deductions, because you start realizing, wait a second, I'm zigging and zagging around town. I mean, I could deduct every time I have to go into the bank and deposit checks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you just want to make sure you have a system down for that.
And I think did you have an app for that?
I'm sure there are apps out there. I actually don't deduct mileage or my rent square footage just because I have not kept enough of good records for those things. And in the event of an audit, like, I don't want that to be a huge headache. They say, I know in the States, like, audits are apparently random, but there's something like, it was a really high correlation between people who deduct mileage on vehicles and deduct the amount of space from their home, from home offices. Like, that had a huge correlation between audits. So for me, I just need to get a better documentation system down for those areas.
So, I understand the documentation for a car, right? You want to say, you know, where you drove to, why you drove there, who you were meeting, that kind of thing. Same as if you were having like a business meeting, like a lunch or a dinner, you know, who you met with, and what you talked about or something like that. But what sort of documentation do you need for an office space? Do you know?
I think it's less, but I know it gets in sticky areas if like you have a television in the room. And so then it becomes like, oh, I work in an open space where there's not a television up here, but there is one down there. Honestly, I could probably deduct it and be fine, which I might talk with my accountant about this year and just make sure that happens.
Always talk to an accountant. Don't take our word for it.
Please. Yeah, yeah. Everything we're saying should just spark like questions.
Right.
For that.
We're starting a conversation that you should finish with your accountant.
Totally. Right, so. Totally. But yeah, so keep that stuff in mind when you're going through your taxes. Those are right off the bat great deductions that you don't even think about. Typically, what are some of the other ones that came up for you, Trevor?
Considering, I mean, if you're doing it more or less full time, you're working from home or whatever, sometimes it's quite advantageous to bring your spouse in as an employee of the company. Mm-hmm. Because then whenever you go out to dinner with your spouse or lunch or breakfast or whatever, as long as you legitimately are talking about business, which tends to happen anyway, because, you know, what does your wife or husband say when they get home from work and you sit down with them?
Yeah.
How did your day go? So we end up talking about business anyway. So that would be one sort of hack, not even a hack. They can obviously, it would be helpful to have the spouse come in and help you out in your business, whether it be, you know, whatever it could be with regards to whatever their skill sets are. And sorry, go ahead.
Guys, I was just going to say, listening, there's so many areas of this. It becomes more of like what you're comfortable deducting. You know what I mean? I was at a conference once and a guy was talking to me. He was like, well, yeah, if you work from home, you have a dog, that's a security system. That's deductible. And all the food and everything else. And I was like, really? You know what I mean? Is that – and I mean, there's that like urban legend that Drake – and you can look this up. This is pretty crazy. But apparently Drake was at a strip club and was able to deduct like $20,000 or something for the night because he spent it on money that like – actually supported his brand and his image, which he talks about in rap songs. So, and apparently he won. So, I mean, there's so many things like this when it comes to taxes, but I just say, like, you know, stick with the ethical stuff that you're comfortable with, because it's not worth you deducting something that you're like, ah, that's a gray area. And then an audit happens and you're, you know, nervous as can be because of one thing that you deducted that wasn't really worth it.
But in just because I like to play.
Yeah. Devil's advocate. Let's do it.
Really, what's the worst case scenario? I mean, the worst case scenario is, okay, it's a gray area. You thought you could do it. They audit you and they say, no, it's not doable. This has happened to me before on a personal level. I've been audited personally for something. We were writing off the interest on student loans, which in Canada is fine.
This is great, because I'm going to tell you exactly how you can decide if it's worth it.
Yeah. So we were writing it off. And, but the issue was that the type of loan that she had received was, even though it was a student loan, it wasn't an accredited type of student loan. It didn't fall under a certain category of student loan. So it wasn't eligible. So essentially I was audited. Mm-hmm. They said, you're essentially lying on your taxes. And they caught me, even though I was doing it with the best of intentions.
Sure. I thought, yeah. People get audited all the time and they're doing everything right.
Know. And I mean, the worst case scenario that happened was we had to pay the taxes back that we received as a refund because of the write-off. So we ended up having to pay back, you know, a couple $1,000s in taxes, which was not fun.
No. But
we didn't go to jail. There's no, like, no one was knocking on our door, like, calling us.
Right. And that's what I think so many people think, too. Like, oh, if an audit happens, they're going to, you know, burst down my door and drag me out in handcuffs. Like, no, that's not it. Because a lot of times, it's just something that you honestly messed up. Like, you're not deliberately laundering money or setting up, you know, inversion corporations where you, I mean, you're not doing stuff like that. And if you are, you shouldn't be listening to this show. This is not your, what you should be listening to. But what I was going to say is, you know, look at it from this perspective. How much time do you think like you spent through that audit process? Because I know yours, you handled when you got audit, I remember you were just like, yeah, we got audit. This sucks, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't seem like it was a ton of time that you spent. No.
So essentially what we had to do was we had to call, actually, no, we didn't call someone for that one. We went, we looked at the letter. We went on to the government website to check the stuff. We saw what it was that the, whatchamacallit, the loan had to fall under which category. And then we realized, okay, we know it doesn't fall under that category.
And, then, and that was it, right?
And that was it. It was like, okay, we can't fight this.
Whereas I know people, someone in our mastermind group got audited and it was a ongoing process, and it was a process, and again, what triggered theirs apparently was the mileage on the vehicle, and you know, her feedback was just make sure you have everything documented, the receipts from everything, because it was such a time consuming thing going through every planner, every agenda, and trying to figure out where the meetings were and everything else. So I kind of look at it from that perspective, like, oh, is it the deduction's going to save me $200, but might result in 8 hours of time? No way. It's not worth it. But if it's something like that, student loans, where it could have been a thousands of dollars difference, that's a huge, huge thing that you want to.
Yeah, I think it was 2,500 or something like that. It was a pretty significant chunk.
Yeah. And to, you know, as you kind of climb your entrepreneurial career, you know, that's when you start bringing on these professionals who take care of this for you. I know in Tom Wheelwright's book, he talks about that as like one of the largest benefits of having, like, you know, they serve as the medium between the clients and the IRS in the event of, yeah, of a, of an actual audit. And so that way, if there is something that's like, you know, fishy or you didn't do correctly, they can at least ask. They can tell the IRS auditor and be like, hey, let me double check on that and see what we can come up with, versus you straight looking at him being like, I don't know what that was, or you know what I mean? The other thing I would say that I think is a really great peace of mind, it's not likely that you're going to get audited, right? But nonetheless, so many tax professionals, tax planners offer that insurance. Because if you do get audited, there's a lot of time. If you, depending on how deep the audit goes, you, I mean, you're going to need a professional to probably navigate the waters. I don't know how Canada is, but in the States, I know I wouldn't want to do it without a professional. And a lot of times that insurance is pretty cheap to buy. Like, we're talking like 20, 40, 50 bucks, which is just in the event that you are. No, for the year when you file your taxes. Oh, in the event. Yeah. So it's like, and they're making a fortune off of it, because I think something like a third of people opt into it, but only less than 1% of all tax returns get audited. But, you know, yeah, it's a peace of mind. So go ahead and buy that insurance if it's something that, you know, you think will help you sleep better in the event that you're worried that you did something wrong with your taxes.
I clearly am a very active and supportive person, and I'm always listening to you. But what was the name of that insurance again?
Oh, it's just something that, like, every time I've had my taxes done, it didn't matter what tax company, if it was, I remember back in college when it was like H&R Block and stuff, they offered it. And even I know the software, like all the ones that you can do on your own, they offer it. So pretty much everyone offers it. It's just
it's like when you go to check out, when you submit your taxes, they have
they'll just offer like, hey, in the event of an audit, would you like to have, you know, one of our representatives, it's like audit insurance or something.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, yeah.
And for those of you listening from the North, when he says insurance, he means insurance. So he's putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable. A little jab for those from the South.
Yeah. So So where are we now? We've talked about some of the things
about auditing, but I want to talk again a little bit more about some deductions. So you were talking about some tips and tricks. I mentioned bringing the spouse in and writing off things like lunches and dinners because you can. Obviously, document everything. Always write down what it was that you talked about. I'm sure there's apps for that that you can use. I mean, if anything else, you can just get the Google Drive app and, you know, have the sheets, like Excel sheets, but it's not Excel. It's Google's version of it, just called Sheets. And just have a sheet that you can have on your mobile phone and you can update it. It doesn't take long at all. That's obviously one thing. But the other thing was travel, business travel. So for me, we went to Florida to visit my family, but my dad is my CFO. So we spent a very large portion of the time talking about business when I was down there in Florida. So I was allowed to write off my ticket as well as any baggage fees and, and so on and so forth, because they were all business expenses, which is funny. We got stopped at the border going into the US because on Christina's flight thing or whatever that we were checking or going into through customs, hers was personal because she doesn't yet work for my corporation. But I was marked as business, and the guy was like, that's interesting. Like, oh no, I've never had like a customs agent say that's interesting to me before. So he called me on it. Now I just told him, I was like, well, my dad is my CFO and it's the end of the year. So we're doing end of the year, like roundup to make sure everything was good on the books and then doing, you know, 2016 planning. And
yeah.
He was like, okay.
And so, you're about to open just Pandora's box because my mind's going crazy. And this is where business gets fun, guys. Cause if you want like a lifestyle, if you want to live in a certain place, you can set up business activities to where, like, that's one thing Tom Wheelwright talks about. Like, hey, if you really want a vacation in Arizona every year, maybe it's worth looking at buying some sort of business investment there where every time you go, you make sure that you're doing some sort of business activities to get that travel deduction to get. And it goes as far as like when you're on the road, everything from like food to where you're staying, all that becomes in play for a deduction. And I think really
he was talking about real estate. So you can look into real estate or something like that.
But a business too. I mean, you can do a business or you could, let's say that there was a, networking event, a training program. Like if you've thought, hey, I really want to see Portugal sometime in my life, find a conference that will really help you in your career and line it up so you can take a trip where you can actually see Portugal and also do some training. That's a great way to, you know, take advantage of some of the incentives of being a business owner.
That's right. And if your spouse says that you're not allowed to go, then bring her or him into the company and there you go. Now you can write both of you off and it wouldn't be a big deal. So
totally. You know, the other things I'm thinking about, just like little stuff that comes up. Again, any expense should be basically in the effort to create revenue or to support the business, right? I think that's like the underlying rule. And there's often so many times during the year, it's just little things like I had to upgrade my phone because my old phone couldn't even do what I needed to do for our social postings and stuff. So like that's something that I'm going to list. And when you're doing assets like phones, computers, there's a different way to depreciate those.
I think if there's a certain, so in, at least in Canada, when I was talking to my dad about it, if the asset to be classified as an asset, if the asset is more than a certain amount of money, then it makes sense to claim the depreciation on the asset over the course of, you know, X number of years through the amortization of the bullet, whatever the words are. I mean, if the purchase is less than $2,000 or something like that, then you can just write the whole thing off immediately, I think.
Yeah. It's something like that. I don't know. But think about things like that. Like if you have to replace the power cord to the computer that you're doing coding on, or if you had to upgrade a piece of hardware, or maybe you needed new work headphones. There's so many things like that, cases for your phone. If you're out like doing Instagram pictures and stuff like that's stuff that's supporting your business. It's fair game to deduct those. I mean, you need those to operate the business.
The key there is to remember to always bring your business credit card with you in your wallet at all times. Cause if you're on the road and something like that comes up and you're like, oh, this is a business expense. My dad yells at me all the time when I use my personal credit card and then tell him later that was a business expense.
Yeah.
So you have to go through all this, you know, spiel to go make it work and all that stuff. So
and that's that's like a headache I'm going through right now with our end of year taxes, because we have multiple bank accounts. And we switch banks during the middle of the year. So I'm like lining up where was what and all that stuff. But yeah, if you have one account with one business credit card, it makes things so much easier for that.
For sure. So for me, I mean, we do internet. So the internet is if I didn't have the internet, I wouldn't have a business. Mm-hmm. So for us, for me, my company, the internet is a business expense. I use it all day, every day for work. For, you know, phones, absolutely. My cell phone, I need to use my cell phone for business. I list my cell phone number on the bottom of my web pages, as well as all the emails I send out, so my customers can call my cell phone. I forget what else we do here that we can write off, and they're all legitimate business expenses that are now I can use pre-tax dollars to pay for them. It's almost like getting salary back, and using it to you know, purchase things that I would have had to purchase anyway. Like I would be paying for internet anyway with post-tax dollars.
Right.
Double win there. I'm avoiding using post-tax dollars to pay for my internet, and instead I'm paying for the internet with pre-tax dollars. So it's very nice. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure, yeah, we can go on and on and on with this stuff with write-offs and what else you can write off. But I mean, it's about thinking. I think the concept is this an investment I'm making for my business in hopes that it will, or at least because I think it will, bring in more revenue down the road, right? I think that's the question you'd ask yourself. Is this going to be beneficial to my business, for my business? If the answer is yes, then you could probably write it off. That's my layman terms way of talking about it as a non-tax professional, just a coder. Yeah. That's my view on it. So would you think that's more or less a good way to word it?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of wording it. And that's ultimately what you want to do, right? It might not make sense for you to go out and hire a super duper tax professional this year. Maybe you're doing your taxes on your own, but eventually you're going to get to a point where it starts making sense to pay someone $300-$400 to do your taxes, especially if they can point out and ask you this question that, you know, you may have never imagined. And then you start going up and you get to the level of like ProVision and the Tom Wheelwrights and stuff, where you start doing tax planning. And that's looking 4 or 5 years in the future, figuring out, okay, what do we have coming down the pipeline? Let's start planning strategically to just really decrease your tax burden. Tons of fun.
Love it. So I clearly, again, I've held this book up for those of you who are watching the video of this on the YouTube or something like that. I've been holding up the book Tax-Free Wealth by the Mr. Wheelwright that Carter keeps referring to. But yeah, Tax-Free Wealth, in case you haven't heard about it yet or haven't actually, you couldn't remember it. So we've said it now 6 times for you, Tax-Free Wealth. Check it out. We'll have a link on the show notes page, coderstartup.com/50, as in the number 50, and you can check out the link there. So yeah, closing thoughts, closing notes, any app of the week or book of the week that you can recommend? I guess we just did one, but
I
don't know about you, but
I got a book.
Okay, go for it.
All right, book of the week. Flow. This has been, I'm not even going to try to pronounce. It's a classic though. I'm not even, that's the author's name. I'm not going to try it.
Hold on.
In the center of the.
I would say that's Miley. Oh yeah, I'm not even going to try the last.
Don't try. Anyways.
Miley C.
Flow. It's a fantastic book. It's about the psychology, the breakdown of optimal experiences, and like really, like you were saying, like, oh, you were in the flow, Carter, and I interrupted you or whatever. But it's about just like why that actually happens and how, you know, hopefully to create more of it in our lives. It's an older book. I think it was like written in 1990. So it's a pretty well-read classic in terms of just psychology. So check it out. I'm finding it really interesting. I'm not completely through it yet, but it's great so far.
Yeah, and I just wanted to note for you, Carter, on almost a personal level, my dad has been reading, is it the Millionaire Mastermind? Or
Millionaire Master Plan? Yes.
Master Plan with Dynamo.
Yes.
He loves that book. He has been talking about it nonstop, and he's like,
Vance, you know, if you're listening to this, you and I, we should have a powwow because it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny because my dad said, hey, he read it, and he's like, Trevor, I'm pretty sure you're a Dynamo. And I was like, yeah, I've already done the test. That's totally what I am.
Nice.
And he said he's like, I forget what he said now, but I think he was steel or something like that.
So is he reading The Millionaire Master Plan right now?
He's finished it. Whatever.
Nice. Did you tell him about it? Yeah.
I think he listens to all of our stuff.
Uh-huh.
So you recommended it on one of these podcasts.
Nice.
He heard the podcast, thought it sounded interesting, bought the book, and now he can't wait to sit down and have a chat with me about it. So
it's fantastic.
I'm excited too, because it's like, yeah, it sounds cool. So,
yep.
Anyway, as for app of the week, I have one unrelated to taxes, but I downloaded it and I'm already starting to like it. And it's a good timing with respect to the beginning of the year stuff and goal planning and goal setting. It's called Habit Bull. I can just sort show it on the. There's the icon for it. It's sort of a purple bowl.
Huh, okay.
The camera's not focusing in on it. Habit Bull. And you can, it's all about the sort of Jerry Seinfeld don't break the chain thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can put the habits in and you can see the visualization of the chain on your calendar type of thing. I only have like 3 days on there, so it's nothing big in terms of a chain that's starting. But you can go in, it's very customizable for what goals you want to set. Whether it's a yes, no goal, like I did it or I didn't, or a numerical goal, less than two, more, you know, greater than five, whatever the goal is, you can put it in there. Really cool. Plus you get these very satisfying sounds when you put in the goal. So yeah, I like it. I'm using it on a daily basis. Habit Bull.
Now, are you still tracking? Do you have a graph going on your wall?
I don't. I will be.
What?
Yes. But I don't. I know it's bad. Because I just know January's been really, really not a great month because I've been in like planning mode and starting to execute mode. So the revenue isn't there. And I just know drawing the chart will be too depressing. I know that I'm not hitting my goal. It's already infused my mind.
Do it, man. Draw that chart.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing it in February. That's when I'm going to be ramping everything up. So
nice.
All right. Very good. I think if there's anything else you want to talk about before we close out?
I think that's all. Be sure to follow United Business Leaders on Instagram. We got a lot of great stuff going. I think we got like 5,300 followers right now, high interaction. And we're about to start releasing our little sales funnel. It's going to be a small one, but you can go and kind of check that out. We'll have a really cool giveaway that I'm super excited about. The team and I, we've been working on basically taking like the top tools that we found have saved the most time and putting it into a short little guide. And it's saving on average like 28 hours a month. So definitely worth downloading that tool and entering our funnel via that. So take a look.
So cool. And I remember just organically, I'd seen one of your posts and I, you know, liked it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I wonder how he's doing. I clicked on United Business Leaders and I saw like, and this was only like a week ago and it was at like 4,700 followers.
Yeah.
And like now you just said you're 5,200 or something. Right?
I think so. I can check. Yeah. We're hustling.
Carter's growing like crazy with Instagram and it's because he's
5,400. Yes. 5,400.
I swear you got 500 people in like a week. Maybe two.
We do a lot of cool stuff and it's a lot of like manual work, but it's paying off. We haven't, you know, bought any followers or done anything like that.
I really want to talk about that. So the results of your little mini sales thing or the funnel that you're going to start in a future episode. Also, I have a cool stuff I want to talk about with respect to Facebook ads and a strategy that I'm putting together. So we have lots of cool stuff coming up on the show. Obviously, stay subscribed and don't forget to check out the show notes, coderstartup.com/50 to get the show notes for today's episode and all the links and all the apps that we talked about. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care of yourselves, happy learning, and bye for now.
See ya.